This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings, Dan DeVone with you every single Saturday morning, taking your calls on the Golden State Warriors. Text as well, 888-957-9570. People don't like Giannis, Dan. They don't like him. They think he's a bad fit from the 510. From the 954, is with you, Clay, lame duck, playing for himself last season, weight on the team. Everyone is all in on this season. That's from Justin. So people are speaking to you. People are on your side of this conversation so far today. You got to turn your mic on.
I am a man of the people.
Well, Zen or at the bar.
You know, listen, I think Clay just, behind the scenes, there was a lot of drama that we just weren't privy to. I just think that the sulking, the contract, the extension, all of that just sort of took its toll. And I think Clay, at some point, he recognized that he was out. And anytime there's a rift with somebody in management and you got to deal with them every day, there's just, it's a tension you'd rather not deal with. I'm a big locker room guy. Like, you got to get that right, because the locker room will oftentimes transfer to the floor or the field. And I think, you know, one more thing on Clay.
Be careful.
Well, here's the thing, is that I think that Clay Thompson, think about this. He had an offer to go to L.A., now, which is essentially home. And his old man, Michael Thompson.
For more money.
For more money. His old man's there. He's got a place there out in Malibu. His dad, obviously, is a color analyst with the team. It all fit, right?
Yep.
LeBron James.
There's an ocean.
They're offering you more money. Ocean for you to swim in. So why does he go to Dallas? That's sort of peculiar. And I'll tell you why. It just made sense to me. This is a revenge tour. He looked at the two teams, and he looked at the landscape of the teams that were interested in him, and he's like, I want to go to the team that's going to give me the biggest chance to win so that I can look at the Warriors and say, look at me, bro. Look what it is that you screwed over. This is clearly a revenge tour on the part of Klay Thompson. Why else would he go to Dallas? He wants to make a statement, and there's nothing wrong with that. I love that about him. But make no bones about it. There's one reason why he's in the Lone Star State, and that's it.
Well, no, I was about to say it's because he wants to win. And I think it's as much about winning number five, which, by the way, God, Clay is just, he's one of a kind, man. So he takes the number 31, right?
Yeah.
Because it equals four rings, which is the number that he typically tends to throw up in people's faces when he's pouting. But I'm with you. He wants to win. And I think he wants to win as much to get his own, you know, fifth ring, as much to say, look what you guys are missing
out on.
Damn
straight.
Now, the one thing I also feel like I'm with you on in regards to Clay, and you didn't say it, but I think you'd agree, he wouldn't have worked on this year's team.
No.
Even if he got the contract that he, let's say in a hypothetical world, Clay Thompson got whatever money he wanted from the Warriors, and they are still running a 12-man lineup, that would not fly with Clay. If his minutes are limited, if he feels like he's coming out in different places at the wrong times, I do think that that would be a problem. And so that is the biggest piece that was removed for me, is that distraction of having somebody basically be unhappy with their situation and their fit. Now, I think there's one player on this current team that is not satisfied with their role. but that player is not a starter, and more importantly, that player is not a hometown hero. That player is Jonathan Kuminga. I don't think Kuminga is satisfied with his role coming off the bench, and I don't think that it's a coincidence that yesterday there was a piece written by Sam Amick along with John Hollinger and Anthony Slater that, quote, rival executives believe the Warriors are more willing than ever to include Kuminga in a trade. So from one standpoint, I understand it because, you know, you probably have never been close to trading him beyond this summer and prior to, so you've never been more, you know, willing to do it. But I think of all the players in this team that I think are unsatisfied, that aren't satisfied with what they have, JK is at the top of the list.
I would say that after the first couple of games of the season, but after what it is that I saw on the back-to-back against New Orleans, I saw him not only contributing, but body language is really big to me. I saw buy-in. I saw the guy with a big smile on his face, and I think as this goes along and he begins to realize that, you know, his role is going to be very dissimilar to what it was over the last couple of years, he's maturing. The guy's 22 years of age. I don't know that we can necessarily put him in that box and just label him right now after a couple of tough games. That's an unhappy basketball player. Let's move him. I think that there's going to be more growth from Jonathan Kuminga, and as he contributes, as he learns to let this thing slow down and recognize what it is that they're doing here theoretically in terms of, you know, it's a lot of players that are getting a lot of time, and you've got to earn your time. And I think that in the last two games of New Orleans, I saw sort of a different JK. And I don't know that it's necessarily somebody that I think is going to be as problematic as maybe, say, the first two games of that home, or the first two games of the season, I should say.
Well, I don't think he's going to make a stink. And I think that Kuminga is relatively, like, he's a bit misunderstood. I think that the language barrier.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes makes him come across as frustrated or angry or pouty. His body language on the court sometimes is not ideal, but I think that's common for young players if they're not playing well. You know, they get down on themselves. So I don't necessarily hold that against him. I think his camp speaks too much for him, and that's where people get the wrong idea about him. But JK himself has never struck me as a malcontent. The thing that I wonder about with him, though, and why I believe that he is not happy, so to speak, is because you're right. The last two games, you did see a different Kuminga. He played. And why did he play? He played because three guys were out. He played because one guy, particularly Andrew Wiggins, who is out, plays his position. Now, he got moved to the bench, which I don't think is going to change. Like, when Curry comes back, one of the reasons that Kerr said he moved Kuminga to the bench is because they wanted more shooting in the starting lineup. And he wanted to move away from the Kuminga, Draymond, TJD front court. I don't think that's going to change when Curry comes back. And I think that's when things will start to get a bit contentious. Because it's one thing to be removed for the betterment of you. It's another thing to realize that your role is going to continue to shrink unless you have it going. And so Kuminga, you're right, he's got to play. And he's got to earn those minutes, but time is not something he's necessarily afforded because he's in a contract year. And you already saw him pressing in the first few games when he was trying to fight among, you know, 12 players. Well, now there's another guy in Lindy Waters who probably has a chance to play. I don't think that it's a conducive environment for Kuminga at this point, and why I think he's not exactly happy with the way things have gone.
Well, if you're the Warriors, I don't know that I necessarily agree. Was it Sam Amick that had that story?
Yeah, along with Slater. I mean, it's from rival execs. It's not the Warriors themselves.
Closer to the situation than I am, but he's your best athlete. I mean, he along with Wiggins are probably the two guys who can get theirs on their own. And so you have to think long and hard, especially if a guy's looking to mature. And I see buy-in, but again, if you're going to move someone like that, because you just don't have any of those players. Aside from Steph, there's, and I would say Steph doesn't have that in his bag. Steph cannot just go ISO and take you to the rack. Steph will cross you up, step back, and shoot a three. But if you're stagnant, and Kevin Durant was always the best at this, if they were missing threes and they needed to score another way, KD would just say, give me the ball, I'll get to my mid-range, I'll get to the rim. But they don't have somebody, when things sort of bog down, that's just going to be able to create on their own. And the athleticism that he provides is something that, aside from Andrew Wiggins, who can do it to a certain degree, he's your best athlete on the team. So depending on what it is that you're getting back in return, and keeping in mind that the guy's 22 years of age, again, I just think if I'm management, I'm erring on the side of patience when it comes to JK.
But you don't have time to be patient, though. Like, you have to make a choice of how much you're going to give this guy. The other part of the article that I thought was a little eye-opening was the fact that the Warriors and Kuminga this offseason were, quote-unquote, far apart in negotiations for their contract. It was between $30 and $35 million.
Mm-hmm.
A $5 million gap to me is not that big. Usually, if a team wants a player and the player wants the team, a $5 million gap can be bridged annually. I do think that's very telling that the Warriors and Kuminga were not able to come to a deal, and it wasn't a chasm. You know, it was more of a stone's throw. So that also lets me know that the Warriors don't have a massive amount of confidence in Kuminga. They're hoping that he proves to them that he is the player that they want him to be, which is a future all-star, a future cornerstone piece of this franchise. But so far, he hasn't done it yet. And I think where he's at is feeling like, well, I want to prove to you guys that I am, but you've already relinquished my, you've already demoted me. You've already taken me out of the starting lineup and stripped me of that role that I'm trying to prove that I deserve. And now that Wiggins is coming back and at full strength, I think Kuminga is going to come off the bench because that's what's best for the team. But that's not what's best for JK. And JK doesn't, again, have a lot of time left because he's going to be in restricted free agency this summer. So to me, there is growing friction there that also stems back to last season and the season before when Kuminga has had people and obstacles in his way, such as Andrew Wiggins. So I that's something that I'm monitoring very closely because I thought it was noteworthy that the fact that they could not bridge a $5 million gap, that came to light.
I would just let it breathe. I know it's a risk, but you don't have to sign him this year. And I think Jonathan Kuminga...
Well, yes, you do.
Well, no, you don't.
Well, during the year, you don't. But this summer, you have to make a choice.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I'm talking about this NBA season. So, again, I'm just erring on the side of patience because he just has to not only prove that he can be that guy, that star that they've been waiting for, but also now, on top of that, he has to prove that he can be a star within this new system, which includes 12 guys. And so all of that is just going to have to play out.
But he's not going to be a star in this new system.
He can.
If you're playing 20 to 25 minutes a game, you're not going to be a star. There's only one star in this team. His name is Steph Curry.
Well, there's got to be somebody else. There's got to be a number two. If he can prove that he
can be... But that number two, I think, is going to change every night.
Well, if he's altering and he's sharing the number two with Buddy Hield or Andrew Wiggins, then I think in the eyes of the Warriors, he's become a star. Now, obviously, if I'm somebody that's going to trade for him, I have to take into account that, well, my team doesn't play 13 guys, and Jonathan Kuminga is going to come here to whatever that team is, and he's going to be my number two as a starter. So it just depends on how it is that you're viewing Jonathan Kuminga as it relates to what team he's playing on. Within the Warriors, where you're sharing the load with 13 guys, and he becomes a reliable scorer that's doing all the right things, and his rebounding numbers are up, and he recognizes spacing, and he's getting rid of the ball, and he's becoming that athletic star, albeit he's getting his 25 minutes, but he's giving you 15 points a game. I think he's become a star in terms of what it is that Steve Kerr's asking of him.
889-57-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVone with you on Warriors this week here on 95.7 The Game. Let's get out to the city. Well, stay in the city, I should say. Let's talk to Telmo.
Where are we going? Where's Telmo?
Well, yeah, Telmo, where are you at in the city? What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm in Noe Valley right now. I'm actually getting into my spot. I got a huge catering today, but I was listening on the way, running some errands, picking up some things this morning. And I got to disagree with Dan, except on one thing. I completely agree that Jonathan Kuminga, as far as athletic ability, just raw athleticism, is probably the most gifted on the Warriors roster. But in terms of what, how quickly he's developing as a basketball player, I agree with Evan. I don't see him ever prospering or being his best version of himself predicated on his game and his style of game and what he needs to become on the Warriors. Because here's the thing. You know, you said nobody can create a shot. Kuminga is not a bucket like that. He's just Kevin Durant as a bucket. There's guys that are just buckets. Kuminga isn't there. Even he's great when somebody gets him in a position to go to the basket, or he's cutting, or they throw him an alley-oop, but his three-point shot's not great. Last year we saw it towards the end of the season. He made bad decisions driving the bucket. A lot of time it was out of control. He puts up bad shots, have turnovers, and one of the things is the body language when he's on the court. You look at somebody like Moody, who, and maybe just Moody in his head doesn't think he has the potential to be the same guy that Jonathan in his head thinks he can be, or the people around him are telling him you should be. But Moody, whether he gets 2 minutes or 17 minutes or 22 minutes, he comes in, he plays hard. When people like, you got to give Jonathan more run, you got to give JK more run. Well, he's obviously not doing the little things that would warrant that. The other day there was a play where the ball went back the other day and Pods ran it down. Lindsey Waters the third ran it down, ended up getting the rebound. Kuminga just lollygagged, didn't make any effort, stayed on the other end of the court and waited for the ball to come back his way and cherry pick it. So when you look at somebody like Pods, the reason the Warriors didn't want to trade him away or didn't even consider it, they didn't just throw minutes at him, but every time he was on the court, whether it was effort, attitude, little things that he did that made him say, hey, we need to give this guy more minutes. So whether it's – the fact is, like Evan said, it's Steph Curry's team. It's always going to be that. Maybe JK needs to go to somewhere where they're going to feature him and feed into his potential in that style of game. But right now – He's a 15-point guy. There's a lot of 15-point guys in the NBA. To be a star, you got to become that 25-point automatic bucket guy every night. And I just don't think, while he's an incredible athlete, and I see why people are attached to that ceiling and that possibility, I just don't see him becoming the best version of himself on the Warriors.
Thanks, Delmo. No, look, I'm not trying to say that I appreciate all the points. Yes, Kuminga's not there yet, and I'm not trying to say that he'll never be that with the Warriors. What I'm trying to get at is I do think that there's growing friction between how the Warriors want to use him this year and what Jonathan Kuminga wants to prove this year, because I don't think their timelines are going to align. I don't. I think JK, to Telmo's point, wants to be the 20 to 25 point per game scorer that he'll probably end up being, but maybe it's at age 26 or 27. Meanwhile, the Warriors want Kuminga to be, to your point, the athletic, the fast, the defensive player that he can be right now, while also giving you 15 minutes or 15 points per game. That is not someone you pay $30 to $35 million to. Or, I guess, you know, if there was a gap, $35. And the extra $5 million was something they couldn't do this offseason. So, again, I think there's a difference between how the team views him and how JK views himself.
I think Telmo made a couple of good points that this isn't necessarily about what he does or doesn't do offensively, but it's the defense. And I mentioned this, that he has to understand rotations. And yeah, he also got beat on a missed free throw, which should have never happened. And so there are moments where he is the antithesis of a Podziemski. And I think that is really where there's a disconnect between him and Steve Kerr. I just don't want to go as far as saying there's friction between management and Kuminga, and Kuminga wants this. I don't know. I mean, a lot of that is just conjecture. We've been proven wrong so many times. Unless we know verbatim, and Kuminga's in studio and he's telling you he's disgruntled, a lot of it is just, I've been doing this long enough and I've been wrong so many times that, and you could be right because it makes sense from afar, but I just don't want to go as far as saying that there's friction between the two because I just simply don't know the inner workings in terms of the relationship. You know what, though? When you think about that Jonathan Kuminga draft class, typically if I was to give you 1 through 8, 1 through 10 of a draft class in the NBA, how many guys would you say hit or were good players average?
In a top 10?
In a top 8.
Define hitting, like becoming stars?
Stars or good players.
Out of 10 or 8? I don't know, 3, 4?
2, maybe. But I would say it's like 2, 3, maybe. Because the NBA...
I would say 1 or 2 stars, and then the extra 2 guys would probably be like rotation pieces.
When you think about that draft class, I just saw this. Just look at this. Cade Cunningham,
yeah.
Star. Jalen Green, budding star.
He's averaging 30 a game right now.
Evan Mobley, star.
Yeah.
Scottie Barnes, star.
Broken hand, broken digit, but yeah.
Jalen Suggs, not a star, but
his start to the season, though?
He's amazing. And watch out for Orlando, by the way. Josh Giddey, maybe the one sort of guy that you could say isn't necessarily not a bust, but not a bad player.
No, he's a good player, and actually, I think he's most akin to Kuminga from this standpoint. He clearly wasn't a fit in OKC. That doesn't mean he's a bad player. And it doesn't mean that Josh Giddey and his game can't help basketball teams. But with where OKC was trying to go, which was spread the floor, 4 or 5 shooters at one time on the floor, Josh Giddey wasn't the right fit for that team, and they were able to use him to go get a piece that fits them better in Caruso.
Yeah, Caruso. So Sam Presti's a little genius, man.
Dude, they don't even have their starting center.
Yeah, that team. You know what's scary about OKC this year?
Everything.
Is not only are they young, but now they got a little swagger. After what they did last year. Last year, they were a little young, number one seed. Are we, you know, playoffs? All this is sort of new to us. Now they're like, bring this crap on. Like, now it's young, talented, and attitude. But just to finish it out, Josh Giddey, Jonathan Kuminga, and Franz Wagner. Just about every one of those guys in that 2021 draft, you're like, man, all right, that makes sense. Because typically... I could give you a draft over the last 25 years, and it's on the average 3 guys. And the rest of you are like, who? What happened to him? Oh, yeah.
Well, that was also something that stood out to me, too. So, like, Suggs, I think, got around 30 per year. I don't know if it was 4 for 120
yeah,
or 5 for 150, but...
Every one of those guys got paid.
Yep.
Except one. That being Jonathan Kuminga.
7th pick. Yeah. No, I'm with you, and I think that... You know, it speaks to the larger direction of the NBA, which is you got to lock these guys in now for big money or bigger money, or you kind of have to let them go. Like, you have to make a choice. And that's where I think Kuminga is also in an unfair position. Dude, he's 22 years old. He's not what he's going to eventually become in the NBA. But because he got drafted to a team that was a title contender his rookie season, in which he didn't play... He's behind the eight ball compared to those guys. Wagner, look at the amount of games he started. Barnes, the games he started. Cunningham, the games he started. Giddey, the games he got to play when OKC was bad before they got good and decided that he wasn't for them. Like, Kuminga has not had the runway, and that's why, growing friction might be strong, but I do think that Kuminga is looking at this Warriors team and wondering, when am I ever going to get the runway if not now? Klay's gone. Wiggins has been out. Curry, Melton, Wiggins, not there, and I get benched? That doesn't sound like a runway to me. So I don't know. Maybe I'm smoking rocks. Maybe I'm onto something. But we're going to continue to dig deeper into the conversation as we roll on here on Warriors this week. 888-957-9570 is the number.
Speaking of smoking rocks, I want to tease something.
Excuse me?
Draymond Green's podcast and smoking rocks.
Is that what it's called?
Next.
Well, they already have an All the Smoke. I think that's with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. Smoking Rocks podcast. By the way.
No, I want to tell you why.
Because of his co-host? Because of his new co-host?
Why, is that already a thing? Have you guys talked about this?
No, but I do think it's funny that...
How baked is Baron Davis on that podcast? I watched that thing simply because Baron Davis is like you on a Friday night.
Hey, well, no, I like to sip a little more than I'd like to smoke. That's kind of an end of the night thing for me. The thing about B. Diddy is, first of all, God love him. He's a legend. He was my favorite player growing up as a kid, as he was probably tons of kids that are my age, or now adults that are my age. But we do have to talk about that on this side. There's a couple things I gotta get off my chest about B. Diddy. All right, Warriors this week returns after this on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570. Evan Gang's Dan DeVoe.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.